Let's start with our next agenda item, which is regulatory assets and regulatory liabilities. We'll hand over to Mariella.
Thank you very much, Martin. Thank you very much, all of you, for attending this session. The objective of this presentation is to provide you with a brief overview of the exposure draft, regulatory assets, and regulatory liabilities. We understand that the entities you might represent not necessarily be affected by the proposals. Nevertheless, we wanted to inform you about them in case you can help us identify stakeholders in your jurisdictions that might have an interest or might be affected by these proposals. The board published the ED in January this year, and the entities affected by the proposals would be entities subject to rate regulation that sets the regulated rates in such a way that causes differences in timing to occur. And we'll go through the concept of differences in timing in the next slide. This type of rate regulation is common in the utilities and public transport sector and in a number of jurisdictions, mainly Canada, Brazil, and some European and Asian countries. And what the ED is proposing is to account for the effect of these differences in timing in entities' financial statements. As I was saying, the ED deals with a very particular type of rate regulation. And that particular type of rate regulation specifies how much compensation an entity is entitled to charge customers for goods or services supplied in a period. And it also specifies when the entity can include that compensation in the regulated rates. Mostly, compensation for goods or services will be included in the rates in the same period the entity supplies those goods or services. But sometimes the regulatory agreement requires an entity to include compensation in the rates charged in a period that is different from the period when the entity supplies the related goods or services. And this is what causes the differences in timing I was mentioning before. So when differences in timing arise, as you would have seen in the example in slide 8, the amount of revenue the entity recognizes in one period by applying IFRS 15 does not include all the compensation that the entity is entitled for the goods or services the entity supplied in the period. So in this particular example, revenue of 100 in year one does not include all the compensation that the entity is entitled for the goods supplied during that year, which is 120, not 100. And this is because part of that compensation, in this case, an amount of 20, will be included in the rates charged and therefore will be recognized in revenue in the future, in this case, in year two. In other cases, when differences in timing arise, revenue in one period can also include compensation for goods supplied in a different period, in the past or in a future period. For example, in this case, revenue in year two of 120 includes 20 that correspond to compensation for goods or services that the company supplied in year one, not in year two. So basically, this example illustrates that without information about the difference in timing of 20, investors would not necessarily understand that revenue in year one does not include compensation of 20 for goods supplied in that year. And they would not understand either that revenue in year two includes compensation of 20 that relates to goods supplied in year one. And because of all this, the exposure draft proposes to require entities to provide information that enables users to understand the effects of these differences in timing by recognizing regulatory assets, regulatory liabilities, regulatory income, and regulatory expense. So by doing this, by accounting for the effects of the differences in timing, an entity will be reflecting the compensation to which is entitled for the goods or services which is entitled for goods and services supplied as part of its reported financial performance for the period in which the entity supplied those goods and services. And this is precisely the underlying principle of the proposals in the AD. The AD calls this compensation total allowed compensation, and the slide includes the definition of this term. So we continue with this example, and we are now reflecting in this slide the accounting for the difference of timing of 20 that arose in year one. And what you can see here is that the entity would be accounting for regulatory income of 20 to reflect the compensation for goods supplied in year one that would be included in the rates charged in year two, and would also be accounting for the regulatory asset of 20. And this regulatory asset of 20 is basically reflecting the entity's right to increase the rates charged to customers in year two by 20. The entity would also account for regulatory expense of 20 in year two. And by doing so, it would be reflecting the amounts included in the rates charged to customers and hence included in revenue in year two. And by doing this, then it would be de-recognizing the regulatory asset in year two. So the regulatory asset in year two is consumed as the amount of 20 is included in the rates charged to customers. And with this information reflected in the income statement, an investor would now have a basis to understand that the performance of the entity did not really change from year one to year two. We also wanted to share with you our plans with preparers. And during the comment period of this exposure draft, we are targeting outreach with group of preparers, either groups of preparers from specific industries that might be affected by the proposals, or also group of preparers that are generalists. And we are using this approach for the jurisdictions where we expect the proposals would impact the most. We would also reach out to individual preparers, and this would mainly be through meetings with national...
Please mute your microphone when you're not speaking. We have a lot of background noise. Sorry.
It's okay. So I was saying that what we're going to be doing with preparers, and I said that we're going to be reaching out group of preparers, both from a specific industries, but also generalist group of preparers. And of course, we will be targeting the jurisdictions that we think are going to be mostly impacted by the proposals. But we would also then reach out to individual preparers, and that would be mainly through meetings with national standard setters, accounting firms, or also by contacting members of our consultative group for rate regulation. So we have a consultative group that supports us in developing this project. So currently it consists of 14 members representing different types of stakeholders. And here in this slide, you can see those that are preparers and then the jurisdiction that they represent. The exposure draft, moving now to slide 14. So the exposure draft has a coming period of 5 months, 150 days, and it finishes on 30th of June this year. And we are expecting to discuss feedback from outreach and feedback from the comment letters with the board in Q3 this year. We have also included a slide to give you links to the exposure draft, the main documents that might help you understand the proposals, such as the snapshot, the illustrative examples. And we have done so so that you can share this to any of your contacts in your jurisdiction. And we also did a webinar on the 24th of February. We prepared these slides before that webinar took place, and hence the link of that webinar is not here. But you can see the webinar in the ISB website, and there is an audio that you can access to get more familiarized with the proposals if you wish to do so. And I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Hi, this is Aki speaking. One question. You know what? You know, sometimes government are not reliable or stable enough. there's no guarantee you can collect this asset next year or within a couple of years. Then, you know, I think the concept of probable for collection of asset may be, you know, in question. In that case, I don't know what we should do. Should we recognize this asset or not? But this is a fundamental question I want to raise. Thank you.
Yeah, so if my answer is right now, then yes, it's a very good question. Actually, many stakeholders following this project, many of the stakeholders that we are reaching out to raise similar questions. And what I have not explained in this brief overview is that we need three conditions for regulatory assets or regulatory liabilities to exist. And the first of the conditions is that the entity needs to be party of an enforceable regulatory agreement. So we need that the rights and obligations arising from that regulatory agreement are enforceable. And I understand that your example is basically illustrating those cases where the regulatory environment, the regulatory regime, probably the stability of some of the institutions in some jurisdictions do not provide sufficient guarantee of enforceability. And if we don't have in place enforceable rights and obligations, then an entity would not be in the scope of the proposals, and regulatory assets and regulatory liabilities would not be possible to be created. And of course, it would be a matter of judgment and assessing the enforceability when those assets or liabilities exist. So I understand the question, and it would require some degree of judgment, but this is a condition for regulatory assets or regulatory liabilities to exist, that an entity is a party of a regulatory agreement that is enforceable. That agreement determines the rate that the entity can charge customers. And the third condition is it determines the rate in such a way that it causes differences in timing to arise. So if we don't have these three conditions, then we would not be within the scope of the proposals.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very clear.
Any further comments?
It's, this is one I think the oil and gas industry would have some input on, and we can organize a meeting with them, a broader industry group, and I'd be happy to help facilitate that. On page 5, where you list out the company or the countries that have regulated industries, I think the U.S. should be included in there, because you'll have entities that have subsidiaries in the U.S. and they may have FERC-regulated pipelines or other types of regulatory enterprises.
Okay, thanks, Sandy, for that offer. And I think we will come back to you. Any further comments? This is not the case. Then thank you very much, Mariella, for giving this brief introduction to this exposure draft.
Okay, thank you very much. And please contact us if you do have any contacts or any companies that you know in your jurisdictions that might be affected and might have an interest to talking to us further on the proposals. Thank you.
Okay, thanks again. Good, then we will move to our last topic for today. And I see already Patrina and maybe also Javid. And if it is Patrina, I think the next topic is interpretation committee.